Good evening and welcome to the Online Warriors podcast. We're back after a brief hiatus. As always, I'm Illegal86 and I am joined by the Nerd Bomber.
And Frank. You can just call me Frank. Frank.
Oh, just Frank? You're not doing Frank anymore?
Yeah, I just decided to simplify it. It's too hard to remember the other way.
It's too hard?
To remember, yeah.
Oh, I kind of liked it, but I guess that's over. Well, we're back. Episode 9 is apparently the number of this episode, because I see that in front of me on the screen. So let's start off the way we always start, by doing basically a what have you been up to Wednesday, and we'll start over with the Nerd Bomber.
All right, so the past couple weeks, I got an email in the mail from Gamefly, which I used to be a member of.
Wait, I already have questions.
Okay.
You got an email in the mail?
an email in the inbox.
Right. Well, who hasn't gotten an email in the mail? All right, fair enough.
From Gamefly, because I used to be a member of Gamefly, like, way back in the day, and they gave me an entire month for $1. So with that... basically free month of Gamefly, I decided to pick up Horizon Zero Dawn, and I've been playing it pretty much nonstop because I want to make sure I finish it before I have to send it back. And so far, it's really, 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 I can't say enough, really, it's good. It's, if you can imagine, I don't know if you guys have played Far Cry Primal.
I have not. I thought that wasn't out yet.
Far Cry Primal has been out for... probably like 2 years.
Oh.
The one where you're like a caveman person.
Yeah, I've never played it. I watched PewDiePie play it once. Shout out to PewDiePie.
Well, no, PewDiePie's a racist, so.
Okay, let me clarify, because you're right. PewDiePie was on Conan O'Brien, and him and Conan played Far Cry Primal.
Gotcha.
So
shout out to
still,
Conan.
Shout out to Conan. In summary, it's still not really okay to be a fan of it's okay to be a fan of PewDiePie. I'm not, because he's a racist. Anyways, carry on.
So basically, you are a primal person. It kind of mixes aspects of that game where you craft a lot. You have bows and arrows and really like primitive weapons. You don't have any guns, really. And your game is focused around... there are a bunch of machines. And this is the far future where something happened to humanity. You don't know what until later in the game. But all of modern humanity devolved back into, like, medieval and prehistoric times where people have to live on the land again without technology. But there are still these kind of sentient, animalistic robots that are out there in the world. And they're shaped like, there's, like, horse-like ones that you can tame and ride. There are some that look like deer. There are, like, giraffe ones. And there are some, like, more lethal ones that as soon as they see you, they attack and try to eat humans. So it becomes kind of like a survival game, a stealth game, and, like, a prehistoric game with a really good story, a really compelling main character, and it's a really gorgeous world, too. The graphics are incredible. I like it.
I've heard some amazing things. So it sounds like you... first of all, how long do you have... what's your clock? Like, when does the clock run out and you have to return this game?
I have to return the game by October 28th.
It's gotta be so scary to be under the gun like that. I don't know if I could handle that kind of pressure.
A little bit, yeah, because, I mean, at the end of the day, I guess I could always just rent another month. It's like $9.99 and I could keep the game one more month and try to finish it. Ideally, I would like to not have to do that. But, yeah, it's a lot of pressure. I spent a lot of time this weekend playing. I think I spent my entire Saturday, because it was cold and wet, playing the entire day.
Well, I mean, I think if you manage to cut off all ties to the outside world, stop working, stop sleeping, maybe stop eating, I don't know. I think you could get it done.
I mean, supposedly the main story itself is only like 16 hours long. And it's really when you get into the side quests and stuff that the game really becomes like a 40-hour long game, which I'm one of those people where I have to do every single side quest because I'm just a perfectionist and it bothers me to see it on my list. So it'll be interesting to see if I can trim the fat a little bit and focus really on the main story. And then if I have time, I'll go back. But the other thing that's on my back burner is they give me two games. So for the dollar, I could get the two-game subscription. So I've also got The Last Guardian sitting on my table. So I really highly doubt that I'll get to both of them, but I'm going to give it a valiant effort.
The old college try. And meanwhile, Frank will just be, you know, doing whatever it is he does when you're not around. Frank, which brings us to Frank. What have you been up to?
Well, I got to fill my time somehow. So I've been playing a lot of Xbox One, actually, since she's been on the PlayStation 4. And I have been playing Sunset Overdrive. And I know that's an older Xbox One game, but God, is it fantastic. It is, if you're not familiar with Sunset Overdrive, it is if you took Tony Hawk's Pro Skater Underground and Left 4 Dead and combine those two games. So you get the killing of the zombies, and you can kill zombies with friends, of course, plus the grinding and doing cool tricks and stuff like that. So,
and by grinding, he doesn't mean like loot grinding. He means like skateboard grinding.
I mean,
does he mean grinding on other people?
I mean, ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind.
Oh boy.
That's the game. I'm just dancing like an awkward high school dance.
Now, is that so? I noticed that you said Tony Hawk's Pro. You said Tony Hawk Underground. Is that what you said?
Did I butcher it?
You said Tony Hawk Pro Skater Underground. You basically mashed two franchises together.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, because I was a Pro Skater 3 boy myself.
Me too.
And I lived on that game.
Well, not a boy.
It's an amazing game.
I was a girl, but...
Who knows?
Tony Hawk's Underground is what I meant to say.
Tony Hawk's Underground. I didn't know he had an Underground. Is this a more recent... There was an Underground 2? Oh, boy.
No, Underground came after, I think, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4, maybe?
It was out in 2003, definitely post Pro Skater 3, which is, shout out to Pro Skater 3, amazing game.
There were a ton of Tony Hawk spinoffs. There was like American Wasteland thrown in there too.
I do remember American Wasteland. I had a cousin who was really into that. Tony Hawk, man, he's got to have, like, I wonder how many people know of Tony Hawk only because of the video games and not because he's like a good skater. You know?
I mean, like, he's older now, so kids who actually watch... like the extreme skate competitions, they probably have no idea who he is from that context. Like, they've never seen him skate.
I wonder if he, like, commentates. Because a lot of, like, when football players get old, they just, like, they commentate. I wonder if Tony Hawk is, like, in the booth at the X Games or something.
He just sits there and goes, sick ollie, bro. That's the entirety of it. It's great. Living the dream.
You think are they doing ollies anymore? I would assume that skating has evolved to, like...
It's all hoverboards at this point.
Yeah, well, ollies are also probably the old standard. Can you do an ollie on a hoverboard, too? Because ollies are just, you leave the ground. That's all an ollie is.
I need to specify. Not the lame hoverboards that go on fire. I mean the Marty McFly hoverboard.
Go on fire? Well, now I really, you're losing me.
You haven't heard that? The hoverboards, the wheeled ones that you like, they're almost like a, what is that thing called? Where you just lean
an inverted
and it
pendulum.
Moves. The thing where you lean on it and it moves forward.
Segway.
Yeah, it's like a Segway without the handle.
Oh,
those are starting on fire.
Those are hoverboards.
Yeah,
that's what they call them.
Also known as, I just call them mini Segways because I'm not up with the hip lingo that the kids are all using. But yeah, I'm glad you don't mean those because
that would be lame.
Well,
those would look lame in the X Games.
Yeah, but if there was a video game where you had to just do tricks on one of those, I'd probably play it.
And then you have to get the high score to unlock the actual Segway.
And if you're playing a level for too long, you light on fire. let's patent for this game. Copyright. Anyone who's listening, you can't steal this idea. This is ours. Is there anything else I have to do to make sure no one steals that idea? I'm not up on my copyright infringement laws.
There's probably a lot of legal mumbo jumbo, but I am not a lawyer.
Legalese. Well, we'll leave that to the Online Warriors legal team. Shout out to the Online Warriors legal team. We're looking forward to having you someday, but right now we don't. What I have been doing in the past, boy, it's been a while since we've been here. I just, you know, at risk of being unoriginal, I've seen a lot of movies. I saw It, which. Everyone's been talking about It. If you're first hearing from me that It is good, you should probably rejoin civilization. But it was incredible. And by it, I don't mean just, I'm not just saying a movie by not saying the title. The title is It. It's about a scary clown. It scared me. I don't know. But then there was also American Assassin, which was actually bad. Don't go see American Assassin. Hot take. And then most recently, I saw Kingsman 2.
Oh, how was that?
Which was... It was actually so much better. So, like, I went to see Kingsman 2. That was a situation where I was forced to go by someone else. And I was like, I didn't think the first one was all that great. I thought it was okay. I thought it was visually unique, but otherwise kind of uninteresting. I went to Kingsman 2, and I have to say, it was better. It was better. It was definitely funnier than Kingsman 1. It had a lot of the same stuff that people liked about Kingsman 1, but I thought they did a lot of it better. So... A plus, Kingsman 2. Go see it. It actually got like pretty average reviews, I think, but I have to disagree. I thought it was a fun ride. It was a good way to end the summer movie season, I guess. Now I'm just gonna watch movies that depress me.
Good choice. Good choice.
It really is weird that they do break the movie season up like that. Like, summertime is all your big blockbuster action movies, and yeah, a lot of the winter movies are super depressing. Interesting.
Right. Like Star Wars to me is one of the few that breaks that trend, and I guess Thor Ragnarok is coming out in November, but like the big movie that's out now that I know I want to go see is it's called Stronger. It's got Jake Gyllenhaal in it. Shout out to Jake Gyllenhaal. He plays a victim of the Boston bombing who like lost both of his legs or something, and it's got like a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. People are like, oh my god, it's amazing. But it's not like it's not going to be the kind of movie. It's going to be like Dunkirk, where you go and you're like, wow, this is amazingly good, but I'm not, like, you can't be happy about it.
Right.
You can't be like, wow, that was great. You're like, wow, that guy had a really messed up life. Or he's probably still alive. But, you know, I'll probably go see that.
It's one of those sobering experiences.
Yes, indeed. Which brings us into a topic that we all thought it pertinent to discuss. So, I don't know when people are listening to this. Hopefully it's soon. But we're now 2 days removed, or I guess a day and a half. I don't actually know when exactly it occurred, but we're a day and a half removed from the shooting in Las Vegas, which I'm sure most of you have probably heard about. I believe currently the deadliest mass shooting in modern American history. So... none of us are politicians, none of us are first responders, none of us were there, but kind of in light of this, we all kind of thought it was appropriate, or at the very least justified, to kind of take a beat and all talk about this in various ways and how we're processing this. So I guess to kind of break open the discussion, how did you guys hear about it? Because I actually don't know.
I heard on the news the next morning.
So... I actually, when I went to bed, I was scrolling through Twitter. It was probably like 11 o'clock, maybe...
Eastern time.
No, it was definitely later, maybe like 12:30, 1 o'clock. And I started hearing, like, seeing weird things, like prayer for Las Vegas or something, or like breaking news kind of things. And I was like, oh, I'll check this in the morning. I'm really tired. I gotta go to work. And then I woke up and I was like, holy crap, this is insane and just tragic. And it was all over everywhere.
Yeah. So I kind of, I guess, similar. So Sunday night, I honestly don't remember when I went to sleep, but I didn't hear about it. I usually scroll through Twitter before I go to bed because, I don't know, I'm a millennial, so sue me. But like, I guess I went to bed early enough where I didn't really see any of that showing up. But then I woke up and my mom texted me and she kind of just said, what happened in Las Vegas, and I think she actually just said like crazy or like really really sad to hear about Vegas, and I woke up just totally bewildered, not knowing what she meant. But then she quickly told me, and like, just what a way to start a week, to like wake up on a Monday morning. And I have to say, like, it ruined my day. I'm confident enough in how bad yesterday was to say that it ruined my day.
It's one of those things that just shouldn't happen, and it doesn't make sense. I mean, there's no, I can't even fathom what was going through this guy's mind. I don't think there's any justifiable enough reason for anybody to ever do this. And it just makes you discouraged with the world. And I think it just puts a damper on, I mean, your entire outlook when you hear about something like this. In addition to just feeling incredibly sad for, what was the final death toll? Like 58 people?
I believe it has risen to 59. Let me look, because I'm sure this will be, this is an easy Google away.
And then it was 200 plus injured.
And like, if you think about it.
Oh, it's far above that. It's over, yeah, 500 injured.
These are people who just wanted to go see a concert on a Sunday night. And it's just bizarre that we live in a world where you can't go out and do something like that now without fear of some psychopath just unloading their anger on innocent people.
It is 59, just to clarify. It's 59 people killed. But yeah, so I mean, we don't know a lot yet. You know, we're still not very far removed from this, and we're all still learning. The authorities are still trying to figure out what happened. You know, everything that I've heard so far, and I think what people are agreeing is one of the most jarring things about it, is that this guy appears to have no ties to any political or religious organizations. He doesn't seem unhinged in that regard. A lot of people describe him as just, you know, a normal guy that just came out of the blue. And in a time like this, when everyone is looking for answers and everyone wants to know why, it just makes it that much more unsettling, I think, to not immediately know. Because typically in these situations, it very early on comes out that, like, oh, this guy was a lone wolf, and, like, people had reported him, and he had failed background checks, blah, blah, blah. But that's not the case with this, which I think makes it
just unique. Just a light one off one day.
Right.
Well, that they did, and I do have to note that I don't really like discussing the killer in these types of situations, because there have been psychological studies proven time and time again that part of the reason why people continue to do this, or it may be one of the contributing factors at least, is that people want to go out in a blaze of glory, and they see, like, oh, this guy got a bunch of media attention, and, like, nobody paid attention to me my entire life, so at least they'll see me on the news, and I'll take out as many with me as possible who made my life miserable. So in that regard, I don't necessarily want to name him.
No, we won't.
But I think what is interesting is that with his background, they did say that his father was a criminal in the past. He was like a bank robber, and I don't know if he ever killed anybody, but the guy broke out of jail multiple times. So it leads you to believe there may have been some sort of mental illness, or maybe just some kind of like anger issues or instability. But at the end of the day, I mean, he's a terrorist. Whatever, regardless of his affiliation to any kind of group or ideology, at the end of the day, this is just a sick call for attention, whatever his intentions were.
Yeah, so it is without a doubt an act of terror. I obviously agree in that regard. I think what's interesting, and our goal here, to be clear, is not to get political. We kind of all agreed on that at the top. But I'm more one to talk about this from a cultural standpoint, and, you know, if we can try to diagnose why this is happening more and more. So last night I happened to catch Conan O'Brien's remarks. Shout out to Conan. And he was more or less discussing the fact that since he became a late night host in 1993, or I think it was 1993, you know, back then when he first started, it would be unheard of for him to be making statements about terrible tragedies like this, mass shootings. And in the past few years, he's had to make however many. And, you know, that struck him, and he mentioned it. And as a result, it kind of struck me where... maybe part of it is we're being desensitized. I don't really know. In the age of thoughts and prayers, and some would argue not enough action, you know, the biggest fear is this going to keep happening, and how do we put a stop to it in a non-political way?
I have an alternative theory. I think the problem is that everything's too easy to get nowadays. You can just go online, click a button, and boom, you have it. And I don't necessarily mean the guns themselves. So one of the things that were noted was that he had modified a semi-automatic to be a fully automatic. But he didn't really modify anything. He just bought an alternative rifle stock that lets you override the semi-automatic feature and go automatic. And this is something that's just available, easily purchased online.
And even if it wasn't, I saw a lot of political debate on this. And I know there are some groups that want to then make it illegal to have this kind of stock that you can add to your gun. But people have pointed out online that there are ways to do it yourself. So, like, it's not even just that he was able to buy it, but that kind of knowledge is now just out there, super accessible, easy, like one click away.
So the point is not necessarily that these people haven't been around all this time, all like throughout all of humanity, but rather that the information due to the internet is just more readily available to be able to make these modifications, obtain these parts, what have you.
Right, and the other side of that coin too is what the Nerdbomber was just talking about with, these guys may want to be glorified and kind of, they want the magnifying glass to be put on them, media-wise, and social media and like the internet and Twitter and everything. It makes that so much just that much more appealing for them. I expect. I don't know.
Well, I mean, think about the coverage that you saw of the shooting. I mean, a lot of that stuff was live footage that people, like everybody's got a cell phone now, and there were people who were taking live footage and putting that up on Twitter and Facebook, live streaming it while it happened. So the instant that he started doing that, it was everywhere and people
Right.
saw it.
I have not watched any of the footage, and to be frank, and I don't mean that to be you, Frank, I'm saying to be, I don't know, forthright. I think it's because I don't think I could handle watching it.
I refuse to watch it. I totally understand.
I am afraid of guns, but definitely. Like, I haven't been around guns much in my life, but I think. I think so much more, especially these days, about living in the time of like my parents when they were young, and like where, and I hate to say this, but where I always think about it, because of Aurora and that other guy with Trainwreck. Like, I think about it in movie theaters all the time. Like, when I went to see Kingsman 2, the theater was sold out. I saw it on opening night, and I'm an anxious guy, so like when I see someone get up in the middle of the movie, my mind gets away from itself sometimes, and I wonder what they're doing. And like nowadays, that is so much scarier. Whereas like if I was some kid in like the 70s or something, it would never even, I'd never even think about it. And whether that's because these, incidents of gun violence happen so much more now, or it's because back then I just wouldn't hear about them because I wasn't so connected to the rest of the world. Either way, the effect would be the same. So, I don't know. There's just a lot that goes into it.
And here's the crazy part, is the only real way to protect from these occurrences from happening is mass surveillance, right? So you could be watching things, but then people don't want that. But you also want the right to information so that people can be able to modify these things. It's all these, where's the line where too much control is causing people to, while it's helping them to be safe, but it's also preventing them their natural birth freedoms. It's
Well, so I'm looking up a quote now because you just kind of said something that so Bill O'Reilly, not a guy I agree with, I want to say right off the top. He more or less said that events like this and incidents like this are the quote unquote the price of freedom. That's a price I'm not willing to pay. I think I kind of understand what he's saying,
was that
but I
really his
think,
remark about this event?
would you like me to read you the full remarks?
No.
Yeah, I don't really want to read them, but yes, that is a quote, and yes, he is talking about the Second Amendment, singular. So, yeah, I mean, again, and that's talking more about gun control than it is about the surveillance that you're talking about, but I think people might respond to the surveillance claims the same way, where if they don't want to be surveilled, they might say, oh, yeah, when things like this happen, it's because we reserve the right to not be constantly watched. I think this is... I'm the kind of guy who, when I see things like this happening, I want to find a solution. And outside of gun control laws, there's nothing as obvious. At least not that I've seen. But people need to start thinking about this. And
I definitely
thoughts
think
and prayers only go so far.
That is one thing, regardless of your political affiliation, the one thing that I've really hated to see come out of this is people who are like, oh, don't, like, it's too soon to talk about it. Like, just let it settle, let people sit with this. It's too soon to talk about finding a solution to the problem. We need to just mourn and give our thoughts to those people. And that's all well and good, but at the end of the day, our thoughts and prayers, I mean, prayers probably do help in a way, but you're not contributing much. And it's something that we need to solve. We need to talk about, because these type of violent occurrences are happening way too often. And we just keep putting it off and off, thinking that now is not the correct time to talk about it. How long do we have to let these things sit before we talk about it? Regardless of what your solution is and what you think you bring to the table in terms of a solution, I think everybody needs to talk about it. Because if we don't talk about it, nothing will change. And I just don't think that's acceptable.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. And yeah, it is worth noting, especially now that we've been talking about this for a bit now, like, there's a quote from Mr. Rogers that you guys have probably seen because it bounces around social media a lot, but I kind of wanted to read it. He was basically telling a story about when he was a boy and he would see things on the news that were scary, and he said, my mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. And I think that's pretty helpful advice. But, like, I don't know if you guys saw the blood. The turnout for basically blood donation the day following was crazy, because, like, that was one of the only ways that people could help. And so many people showed up, and, like, I don't think the issue is that no one cares. I don't think that's true at all. I think people are just struggling to find a worthwhile and productive avenue for that concern that will actually lead to change.
So that's the relevance of the title of today's episode, right? Unity.
Yeah.
So take a moment, put your political affiliations aside, put your religious affiliations aside, and reflect on, like you said, the helpers, and see that we as a people should be coming together, and it shouldn't take these horrible events from happening to help your fellow man. Just putting that out there.
I mean, I will say it was really touching reading. I mean, it was horrific, and reading some of the accounts were absolutely terrible, but there were people who literally, like, I think there was a 56-year-old man who saw a group of, like, young girls, and he literally put his body over them to protect them, because in his quote, and it's not, I can't directly quote it because I don't have it in front of me, but he basically said, I'm older, I've lived a good life, I want them to be able to live a good life, and was just willing to put his life at risk to help people he didn't even know. And, I mean, there are countless stories like that, and it's really touching to see that, like, yeah, okay, there's one guy who was awful, but there were 30,000 people in that crowd who helped one another.
Yeah, I mean, it's some of the stuff, I've seen accounts on Reddit, a few of them, and it's powerful, you know, like you said, I've heard a number of stories already. I mean, a lot of people shielding others, and just certain people stepping up, and I can't imagine what I would do in that situation. I can't imagine if I would even be thinking straight. Yeah, I don't know what I would do. I don't like thinking about it, and I don't want anyone else to think about it. We shouldn't have to. But, you know, my mom actually said something. She said everyone feels like they need to start becoming more like Jason Bourne and like knowing where all the exits are and being able to see things before they happen. And that's such a signal that like something is so wrong. And like, I don't know, I always see that same Onion article pops up all the time where the headline is something like, there's nothing we can do to prevent this, says the only country where this regularly happens. Because if you look around the world, like, and again, be it because of gun control or something else, like, you look around the world, and this is all documented, and you can see how much more it happens here than it does elsewhere. And you know, in one of the greatest countries in the world, one of the most affluent, how? You know, it's just, these are the questions that I think a lot of people are asking.
And I think part of it is part of the what's really become a very dangerous climate of the country as a whole. And I don't care what your political background is. I don't care even what your favorite sports team is. You go on the internet, you go talk to people in general, and everyone is so up in arms over they can't look at another human being that's in front of them and agree with them on anything. A lot of discussions turn into bickering arguments where people like immediately go directly to the most extreme form of, it's not even debate, it devolves into a form that's not even debate, it's just name calling and anger.
And, oh yeah, there's been death threats over political discrepancies.
And I mean, regardless of who our politicians and leaders are, you have to look at history, and there have always been divisive candidates, there have always been divisive ideals, but it's never been this bad. And I think people, as people, just need to start looking at everyone around them as human beings. And maybe that's just another function of the internet, where we've been so desensitized. Everyone just hides behind the anonymity of the internet and the ability to just write scathing words to each other, that we've stopped seeing other people as human. And I think that's something that just needs to change.
I absolutely agree. And like, maybe, you know, at some point we might find out what this guy's motive was, you know, if he for some reason had a problem with all these people at this concert, and I can't imagine what that would be. But I kind of agree with what you said, in that people these days seem to look at someone else and have such an easier time finding a problem and something to disagree on, and disagree on without discussion. It's just this irrevocable distaste that I suppose in certain extremely aggravated cases can lead to something like this. And I don't really know where we go from here. Here's a question though. Maybe I'm the only one with crazy friends, I don't know. I have seen conspiracy theories already about this, and I'm not bringing this up to entertain any of them, because I think all of them are ridiculous. I'm just curious if I'm the only one who's seen anything like that. Talk of multiple shooters, government involvement, and it's just, it makes me sick, to be honest.
I have seen the conspiracy theories as well. Some of them, I'll admit that I have read them just because I've seen people that
I read them as well.
I usually respect people's opinions, like people who I typically believe have sound judgment are posting this stuff. And I mean, it does make you raise your eyebrows a little bit. I think I don't really want to give credence to anything, but there was a specific one where a guy basically predicted a mass shooting type scenario in Vegas, which was kind of weird, like about a month ago. But I mean, I feel like speculating, I don't understand why conspiracy theories are the first thing to pop up. I feel like we have more productive things to be doing.
So I'm going to be completely honest here. Between the book I've been reading, Nexus, and as I've mentioned before, it's this drug that they drink, and there's a divide of people. Some people are for using it for the enhancement of human beings. Other people are against it because it can be used improperly. And in the third and final book, spoilers, it's revealed that the government has created a fake terrorist organization to help put fear into people's eyes from getting this to happen, such that they can instill laws. So between that in my head and this show we've been watching on Hulu, where it's going into the assassination of Jamie Kennedy and conspiracy
JFK?
Theories. JFK and the conspiracy.
Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah.
who's that?
He was like famous for like a year.
Wait, are y'all watching 11/22/63?
Yeah. Yes, we are.
I've heard my brother watch that. He said it's really good. Shout out James Franco. Anyways, go on.
It's an interesting rule. But anyway, so I could see the conspiracy theory that people might be wondering, that was this used as a catalyst to restrict gun control further? That's where I can kind of see it, but it feels wrong to be thinking that.
It's one of those things where I don't think any normal civilian would know for sure. And I don't think it's something that then we should be really spending our time thinking about when I think they're... I don't know. It's difficult to even wrap my head around.
Well, so, I think I know what you're getting at. Like, I think the reason... So, like, you look at almost any tragedy that's happened like this in the past few years. The two that come to mind for me are Aurora and Newtown, which, like, this same guy who I heard about this stuff from today, like, he's every time he's like, oh, this is why this is the deep state, and like, this is the government is doing this, and these people are actors, and blah blah blah. And I think for a lot of people, I first of all, I don't think it's necessarily unheard of. I to an extent I agree with what you said, Frank, but like, I also think that a lot of people are so willing and so ready to assign cause for this to something like that, something like the government, because the alternative is so much scarier. I think the alternative is so much scarier. I think if you can say, oh, it's the government is doing this, and it's this whole orchestrated thing, like, it's not as random. It's not as chaotic. Someone's carrying it out. And yes, it is still scary, but to me, the idea that one day some guy snaps and goes off and this is the result, I think that's more terrifying to me. But I don't know. I mean,
by all accounts and purposes, the guy looked like any of our dads, which
sure
is absolutely terrifying. And I mean, I know the shooter can be anybody, but you always think it's like some...
like a lone wolf, like I said, like some...
Yeah.
You know, someone with some sort of strong ties to some sort of, you know, belief system. And it seems like this guy didn't have much of that at all. Which definitely gives you pause. I don't know. I didn't mean to say that I didn't read the conspiracy theories, because I have read a few. But like you said, I think I see it as a sort of thing where if it's true that some humongous entity, say the government, say aliens, whatever you want, if it's true that they're the ones doing this, it feels so wholly out of my control. It feels out of my control either way, but like with such a big organization involves, it feels out of my control to the point where I'm like, okay, well then why talk about it? You know, if this is true, if it eventually comes to light that this is true, what's the result? I don't know.
So I guess another offshoot of a question is, will this impact your willingness to attend large events, large gatherings, do you think?
I mean, like I said, I already think about it in movie theaters, and that's not a large gathering at all. For me, the answer is yes. I hope it doesn't get worse. At this point, I feel like we've seen so much, and we've seen so many things like this happen, that even as it gets better, you know, how long will it be until we can feel safe? I know my mom thinks about it. She's told me she thinks about it. She recently went to a Bills game, and she said she was thinking about it. So, like, yeah, I don't know how many people are going to stop convening. But
And I know in I a know. way, that lets the terrorists win, in a way, depending on what sure. their motives are. But at the end of the day, it's difficult to balance the unwillingness to let them prevail and your just sense of self-preservation.
It's, for me, it's a scenario in which, so I'm afraid of flying as well. And every time I tell someone who doesn't already know that I'm afraid of flying, I get bombarded with statistics and probabilities that, oh, you have a better chance of winning the lottery. It will never happen to you. And the statistics in the case of this sort of thing are very similar, but like, they mean nothing to me. They mean so little that, like, yeah, I am thinking about it, and I'm thinking about it in the context of going to huge public events, because I feel like I just don't know anyone anymore. I don't know people, and I don't feel safe enough with the average person to kind of make myself vulnerable. And, like, I've been thinking a lot in the past day or two about something that we're a society of innovators, you know, especially in this country. Like, it's this huge era of technological evolution, and we've made so many strides forward, the internet and what have you, that, like, there has to be some sort of crowd-based way to solve this. And so non-politically speaking, there has to be some kind of crowd-based way to make it so if there's a stadium full of people and there's one guy in there with a gun, you know.
Well, that's what makes this even scarier, though. Because this guy wasn't even in the event.
Well, yeah, that's true.
The discussion that I had with some of my colleagues was, can the gun manufacturers make their designs such that they can't be modified easily, where the modifiers would need something like a machine shop? And I think that puts an interesting challenge to the manufacturers, and a challenge that I think would be well received, because then it and granted, you'll always get those anarchists that try to sell these devices that, hey, you just slap this on there and it'll override it and whatever, but let's just put it at, leave it at that with that challenge, because I don't see why it can't be done.
What about the guy who owns the machine shop? Yeah, you know, like.
But that's the thing. That
it would definitely help, but, like,
it's you've so hard. Severely reduced how accessible such a modification is, right?
Yeah.
How many people have a machine shop?
I mean, I know I don't. I would go if I wanted to find one. I suppose that's a good point. I think that. And I know I said I don't want to get political. Who needs a machine gun? Who?
The better question, I think, even if you're a gun collector, who needs 40 plus legally, right, all at the same time?
I think there should be, like, this is too simple and this would never work, but, like, I have to assume at this point that it's on record somewhere how many guns a person owns. And if they own more than, I don't know, 7, some number, put up a red flag that says they can't buy any more. Like you said, why do you need more than, you know, the Second Amendment talks about a certain type of militia, and I don't have the text in front of me, but, like, I don't know. This is one of those instances in which I think reading into the Constitution, some people think it's required, some people think it's not, and, like, is it necessarily divided down political lines? I don't know, but who needs an AK-47 in this country? Who is so afraid of their house being, you know, burglarized that they need a fully automatic weapon? Because, like, what are 20 burglars going to rob your house? I don't understand it. I really don't. And I'm at a point where I'm very open to hearing an argument for it, you know. I'm not trying to be snarky. I'm just.
So.
I want to know.
The people who are very down to the letter with the Constitution, and I don't want to get political. I just do want to read the entirety of what the amendment is, because it's actually quite succinct and short.
We should have titled this podcast, "We Don't Want to Get Political."
But the Second Amendment does say that a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The well-regulated militia was the part I was trying to say. I just couldn't remember the exact words.
So, without knowing their direct intention, there are a lot of different ways to interpret that statement. And I think that's where you get the big political divide, because it is left open to interpretation. And granted, it was written in a time where we did not have automatic rifles. We didn't. So I think it's up to the experts, the people who know best, maybe even just the American people, to voice their opinion, because, I mean, we are now over 100 years removed from the writing of this document, and I think it needs to be more well-defined.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, the Constitution's like this in a lot of ways, where sometimes you're like, oh, I don't know exactly what this amendment means, and obviously all the Founding Fathers are long gone, so...
Wouldn't it be nice to have a time machine? Not to get, like, humorous or make light of the situation, but it would just be so nice.
I was thinking holograms. You know? Like, if ever a country is formed in the next, you know, 25 years, which for all we know might happen, they should really get the Founding Fathers to import their consciousnesses into something that we can reference forever. Because... man, what were they thinking? It would be useful to know now. And I do wonder so often if they're rolling in their graves saying, no, it's this way, it's supposed to be this way. You know, because for all we know, they truly may have intended, oh, yeah, have as many guns as you want, throw guns from the rooftops. And, you know, maybe then if we heard that, I don't know, I guess we'd either... say, well, that's wrong, or we'd say, oh, okay, if that's the way you think it should be, then we'll go with it. But now we're left in, like, this uncertainty period of we don't know what they meant, and everyone's got an opinion, and anyone who has the other opinion is a horrible person. You know, that's the way arguments go these days. It's always so personal. And, yeah, what a world we're living in.
I guess we're getting close to the hour mark. I don't know if you guys have anything else to discuss. But I feel like it would be a good thing to close to kind of share what you can do to help the people of Las Vegas. I know blood is a major, major necessity. So if you can donate blood, I'm sure, depending on where your location is, it probably wouldn't get there in time for when they need it. But I know blood banks probably have been severely depleted, so even if it just replenishes the reserves for the future, definitely make sure you go out and give blood, unless you're someone like me who passes out. And even then, consider it. There are also a lot of different fundraisers going on, raising funds for the victims and just the officers and all of the different people who have responded. Just make sure that it's a valid source, because there are many outlets out there that aren't necessarily going to the intended recipient. And yeah, just reflect, help in any way that you can. And if you know anybody who's been affected, don't necessarily bombard them with questions about the experience either. That's one thing that I did notice. And it drives me crazy to see reporters on the news, and there are people who have just been shot at. And they're like, oh, well, your friend just got killed. What did you think of this? And you just see in their face, they just need time to process. So be respectful if you do know anybody who was affected. Be respectful of their need to process, because this is a very traumatic situation. I couldn't even imagine what it would be like to be there.
Yeah. So I've seen a lot of people make a lot of remarks on this, and the vast majority of them have been extremely respectful. A lot of them have left me particularly moved, and I don't say that lightly. But I guess, yeah, to close, aside from what from what Taylor said about what you can do. I think that we're at such a turning point, and it's, I've said this a couple times during this cast, but like, I don't think it's enough to send thoughts and prayers anymore. And like, that's not an original thought. Many people, you know, in the past couple of days have already said this. Does that action have to be political? I don't necessarily think so. I think that we need change. But in the meantime, you know, make sure you hug your families tonight, and make sure they know that you care about them, because these days you never know when something like this is going to happen. And you know, Jimmy Kimmel said there are, I believe it was him who said, there are children without parents and, you know, husbands without wives, and vice versa. And it's impossible to ever know. So in the meantime, grab life.
And just be cautious, too. I don't know if anybody who is attending the concert could have even seen this coming, because I really don't think there was anything that they could have done. But in social situations, we live in a crazy world now. You just be aware of your surroundings, be aware of exit points, and just be cautious out there.
Frank, any closing thoughts? Or did we pretty much
nail it? You guys covered it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we'll end it here. We'll talk to y'all in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, have a good night.